Hey, make sure you're listening in the 7 o'clock hour. We've got an opportunity for you to win $1,000. So make sure you're listening. We'll give you that opportunity coming up.
We're coming up on the anniversary of the October 7th attacks tomorrow, and it seems like there could be a deal to end this war. Delegations from the U.S., Israel, Hamas, Middle Eastern companies are set to meet in Egypt today for talks to try and pave this way. Jonathan Savage, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor, joins us now with more information on what's happening today. Thank you, Jonathan.
Hello, good morning.
So what do you see happening here today? Could this be a breakthrough?
Well, there's definitely momentum. There are no guarantees, but President Trump's personal involvement is being credited with something of a diplomatic breakthrough. And over the weekend, all sides have been considering this 20-point plan, which has raised hopes after two years of attempts to end the conflict. So today and over the next few days, there are going to be meetings taking place in Egypt, in Cairo and in Sharm el-Sheikh, indirect talks between Hamas and Israel. So they are sending delegates, but also sending delegates the U.S. government with Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, former presidential advisor Jared Kushner, of course, President Trump's son-in-law, as well as mediators from the hosts, Egypt and Qatar as well. So plenty of very important people taking part in these talks, really giving you a sense of how close that many believe, or at least hope they are, to getting some sort of positive conclusion.
Jonathan, President Trump has been pretty forceful in his language. He warned Hamas of complete obliteration if it doesn't see power. He's also pressing Israel to show restraint. Also, we're hearing reports we got dozens killed over the weekend, despite his call for them to kind of pause. How is that balance playing with both parties?
President Trump's been trying to put pressure on people, including his friend and close ally Benjamin Netanyahu. President Trump has a lot of power over Prime Minister Netanyahu at the moment because the Israeli government don't have many friends in the international community beyond the United States. So last week, he actually got the Prime Minister of Israel to apologize over the phone to his Qatari counterpart for a strike that was aimed at Hamas in Qatar. And that was seen as something of a humiliation for the Israeli leader. But President Trump putting pressure on Israel to stop the bombing of Gaza to get the hostages out, but also, of course, putting pressure on Hamas. Last night on Truth Social, President Trump saying that massive bloodshed will follow if there is not an agreement soon. He says he believes that Hamas is ready for a lasting peace.
Well, I think one of the major questions that I had, at least when this plan was rolled out, was this a hard plan, or was this going to be a plan that there was going to be some wiggle room? Because Hamas seemed to signal, yes, we're willing to turn over the hostages, but we're not ready to destroy all of our weapons. Yes, we want peace, but we don't want to lose power here in the Gaza Strip. So there does seem to be a little wiggle room there, but then it's the president's reaction to that, which is still one we haven't really seen yet because it hasn't been ironed out.
Yeah, because we don't really know exactly what Hamas's response is to every single part of this plan. Hamas has agreed to free all the remaining hostages, the ones who are alive, and of course the bodies of those who have deceased. They've agreed that they would no longer govern Gaza. They would hand that over to technocrats from the Palestinian people. But there are key parts of this plan that Hamas has not publicly and directly responded to. As you say, Hamas has not confirmed that it's willing to lay down its arms. Israel insists on that. Hamas has also not confirmed that it would play no future role whatsoever in the governance of Gaza over the medium and long term. So we're still waiting to hear exactly what Hamas's official response is. But having said all that, there is more optimism now than there has been for some time. There have been 2 years of war. Hamas has been massively damaged by this. Their leaders have been killed. Many of their senior generals have been killed. And of course, Israel has shown no signs of being willing to let up until it achieves its goals on the ground.
There's a piece in the Wall Street Journal that Palestinians inside of Gaza, they feel a shift, that they say, accept the deal. It's not perfect, but it ends the bloodshed. And one mother said that she doesn't feel like their suffering matters to Hamas. Do you see in your reporting a shift within people who live there?
I think for sure there has been a shift of Palestinians' opinion of Hamas over the last 2 years. I mean, we've seen criticism of the street. We've seen protests against Hamas on the street, and criticizing Hamas in Gaza has been a very dangerous thing to do over the years. But Palestinians so fed up of the bloodshed, so fed up of seeing their homes destroyed, fed up of the lack of food, just fed up generally of the consequences of this war, that they want a different future, many of them. Now, there is still a portion of Palestinians in Gaza who do support Hamas. Hamas has been able to recruit over the last 2 years of this war, but the opposition to the militants definitely appears to be growing.
The president said he expects these talks to last a couple of days. Is that realistic, or are we looking at something much longer and complicated?
President Trump said that he believes that by the end of this week, certainly the first phase could be completed and the hostages released. That perhaps is optimistic, especially if you've been watching things for the last 2 years, as we all have, and seen hopes rise and fall time and time again. And you know, there will be some obstacles to this. I mean, Hamas has to locate all the hostages. They have to locate all the bodies of the hostages. They have to liaise with the Red Cross, the International Red Cross, who would play a part in getting the hostages back home. So there will be technical details to be ironed out, but certainly President Trump, by giving this timeline, is trying to put pressure on Hamas and, of course, on Israel as well, to get this deal over the line.
Well, some people think that, you know, Hamas, you know, may act like they don't know where the bodies are and where the hostages are, just to stall and kill time. Has there been talk of that?
Certainly that attitude speaks to the lack of trust, doesn't it, that has plagued these negotiations and this war over the last 2 years. And of course, many would say, of course, there's a lack of trust. I mean, look at what we're dealing with here. Look at the background to this. But, you know, Israel has no, I suppose, no choice but to, you know, I believe Hamas when Hamas say that they need time, they need to locate the hostages and the bodies, they need to get pathways through the war zone to keep the hostages safe before they can be returned. What we think is going to happen this time compared to the past is the previous hostage handovers have happened very publicly with armed Hamas fighters. Israeli Prime Minister said these were humiliating ceremonies. This time around, Hamas says it will do this in secret, behind the scenes, without this public relations display.
I feel like we've heard this before, though, that we're close, right? We're really close to a peace deal. How close really are we on this one?
You know, you're absolutely right to say that we have heard this before, that we have been down this road before. People are saying that this is different, partly because President Trump has put more pressure on the Israelis than he ever has done before, partly because it's been going on for 2 years and people in Israel are fed up of this war going on, and of course, partly because Hamas has been damaged so badly militarily over the last 2 years, and the Palestinians, many of them, want this to come to an end. This has to end somehow. Hamas is in a much poorer position in terms of negotiations than it was a couple of years ago, and they no doubt will be weary of this war as well. The question is Hamas willing to give up its entire structure, its entire existence as a military entity? That is going to be one of the key sticking points here.
Jonathan Savage, Fox News correspondent, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And there's a quote here from a woman who just gave birth inside of Gaza. So her baby's premature. She goes, "I don't care about Hamas's weapons, its leaders, their fate, or the prisoners. My husband, my son, and I, we're the ones paying the price." So it just feels to me like the perception inside of Gaza there is changing. And they're like, end it. This isn't perfect, but
and in
let's
and
end
in
it.
War times, you generally side with your government, right? You generally and yeah, it was there, and now it seems to be flipping. You're right.
Yeah. All right, coming up, tensions rise as a federal judge blocks the president's latest move to send National Guard troops to Oregon. What's next? We'll ask our retired Detroit police chief at 6:49.
But first, 6:44, time for Ion Engineering, brought to you by CSP, rethinking composites for a lighter, sustainable future.
In Indiana and three other states, Toyota is manufacturing good futures for high school students. The 4T Academy, which in Indiana stands for Tigers, Trojans, Titans, and Toyota, after the three participating high schools, teaches students skills in robotics, automation, and manufacturing using the same high-tech tools found at the nearby Toyota factory in Princeton. During their senior year, students are paid $18 an hour for class time. Some end with jobs on the line at the factory or nearby suppliers, while those going to college are eligible for internships. The program nets Toyota skilled workers and engineers for its factories. Students who face limited career options in a rural area see wider possibilities. One graduate of the program, now working as a project manager in Princeton, said that her life would have been quite different without it. Toyota also funds 4T programs in Kentucky, West Virginia, and Mississippi. For SAE International, I'm Chris Klontz, and that's an Eye on Engineering.